Welcome to Leap Listens, the employer branding podcast. I'm Sarah, and I'm joined by my co-host, Roger.
Hello.
Leap Listens is brought to you by Leap Create, a dynamic people communications agency. Today, we're joined by Pavi Ratnikar, with 20 years' experience in branding and marketing, currently leading employer branding at multinational in London. She founded a digital marketing agency in Bangalore, worked with governmental clients, and is an advocate for women entrepreneurs. Pavi enjoys travel, history, and British cultural activities. Welcome to the podcast, Pavi.
Thank you, Sarah. It's great to be here. And I'm very excited to be a part of your employer branding podcast.
Oh, fantastic. So, Pavi, tell us about you and your career.
Okay. I'm an employer branding and recruitment marketing specialist. And I currently work in London at a large multinational engineering company, which is headquartered in London. Mine is a global role. And I have over two decades of professional experience working across various industries and geographies. And I have like 10 years of digital marketing agency background. So that's me in a nutshell.
Fantastic. So today's podcast is around designing an employer branding dashboard. So can you begin by explaining what an employer branding dashboard is and how it differs from a traditional branding metrics?
Yeah, traditional branding metrics, especially, you know, I can tell from the perspective of being a digital marketer, is branding metrics usually measure brand awareness, share of voice in the market, social media engagement, and the kind of following you have on various platforms. So that is usually the branding metrics. An employer branding dashboard brings the metrics together to give a fuller view and a bigger picture of how branding and marketing are impacting your talent pool. Essentially, an EB dashboard, I'm going to say EB and abbreviate that, if designed well, it connects the dots. You will be able to see the correlation between, for example, social media engagement and the quality of applications coming in.
Fantastic. Pavi, so tell us, having a dedicated employer branding dashboard is critical for organizations today. And can you share some of the major benefits companies have observed by implementing such a dashboard?
Yes. Well, Sarah, as you very well know, employer branding has been there for quite a long time. But dedicated budget allocations for EB campaign and EB agencies started about a decade or a decade and a half ago. And just after the pandemic, the demand for EB peaked, and we saw a high demand for employer branding, which was driven by, you know, the market and sudden talent shortage. And it was a job seeker market. But now the market seems a bit cooled off and the market elements have changed. The danger is the business, the stakeholders perceiving employer branding as less important. And that has an impact on budget allocations and, of course, on the resource allocation for employer branding. As an employer brand is an abstract, intangible, it is an intangible business component. If this can't be backed by numbers and data and results that align with business goals, there is a danger of getting reduced budgets and being perceived as less important by business. And then, of course, over time, this in turn has an impact on both the talent you attract and the talent you retain. And we know where that can lead to, which is why an employer branding dashboard is so important. It continuously demonstrates to the stakeholders the impact of employer branding in attracting and retaining talent. And a well-designed dashboard should align with the organization goals.
Yeah. So I guess one question would be where you start. So if you're a company and you're looking to create your first employer branding dashboard, where do you begin? What are those foundational steps that are essential in the early stages?
Roger, I would always say start with the business goals. That would ideally be the approach, just like in digital marketing. You start with what does your business want to achieve? What does the CEO want to achieve, right? So what does your business want to focus on in short term and long term? This should be the overarching objective of your dashboard too. For example, if the business wants to focus on increasing its tech products and services, and then you need to focus on your tech talent. And if DEI is a huge focus for this year, or you're expanding to a new geography, or you have had recent lots of mergers and acquisition, and you want to ensure a uniform employer branding. So you need to understand what is a priority for the business stakeholders, and that should be your guiding point. You then need to pull in for your second question regarding what are the foundational steps in the early stages. You need to pull in data from various employer branding platforms, which can demonstrate that business goal is being met by employer brand campaigns. For example, if you want to increase the share of female employees in your organization and you want to achieve better gender diversity, then you build a dashboard by pulling in maybe Apply Starts gender data. And you need to build it because you need to build a talent pipeline. You want to start with candidate applications. However, as we all know, candidates will research an employer brand before they apply. So you also need to keep a close watch on DEI ratings on Glassdoor or other review sites. Then you need to be able to quantify relevant content that you are putting out on external and internal comms that tell your story, which then impact your EB, how EB is perceived. So you set up data access on various platforms and from HR systems. Example, for company and career websites, you need access to Google Analytics. And for social media and review sites, you need insights and analytics from these platforms. So these are the main data points.
Actually was my next question was around the data, which you've already answered. But it'd be interesting to understand, Pavi, from your point of view, what are the top metrics that employers should focus on to really accurately gauge their branding efforts?
Yeah, see, employer branding is a unique, as an employer branding manager or specialist, it has a unique position that you work between several departments. And you need to pull in data not only from your marketing, your branding metrics, but also from the HR systems you have. So sorry to repeat this, but the EB metrics, which align with organization goals, you build a dashboard and you pull in data on one side from your marketing and branding and on the other side from HR systems. Could be Workday or, you know, systems like that. I would say when you focus on the top when you say top metrics, of course, your organization goal should lead that. But one thing that happens is you can get overwhelmed by the amount of data you'll get from, you know, all the sites. And when you have this, you can't have an elegant dashboard if you dump data on that. You need to be able to do the data storytelling. For that, I would say the top metrics you focus on is the awareness that you're building as an employer brand. One is your reputation as an employer brand. And then if you look at the applications, the quality of applications that you're getting. I think these three are the main triangle that you can focus on.
And you talked about the sort of elegance of that data. How do you bring it together? How does it actually manifest? Do you have a piece of software or do you manually put this together in a spreadsheet? So what does your dashboard actually look like and how do you bring different data points into one dashboard?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And it takes a lot of work and the journey I think you can't have one size that fits all. Like what you are going to download actually are really long, boring spreadsheets as data. But the person responsible for employer brand should do a lot of research and really, really understand what the business is about. Only then you'll be able to understand a certain trend line, like why is this happening? Is this a seasonal hiring change or is this led by the market conditions? And when you present to key stakeholders, what I do is I take the tons of spreadsheet I have data and then put it into maybe three or four slide deck with three or four pages. That's all. Make it very simple and easy to understand. And I think elegance comes from having it as minimal as possible, but creating that real impact and meaning to the person who's seeing that.
That's great. And actually, that was one of my other questions. Was around best practice, which I feel you've already answered. But I'd be interested in the flip side of that to understand what some of the common pitfalls are and challenges that companies might face when they go through this process.
There are, I think, two in my journey. I've learned two things. One is that one dashboard doesn't fit all audiences. Like if you're talking to HR and if you say oh, we had Instagram posts that garnered so many views, it will not interest HR because they want to see quality of applications. They have tough to fill roles that HR are struggling to fill. They might be competing in a tough market for certain roles. So your post and its views may not make sense, but that data will excite your marketing team, right? So you need to understand who your audience is and ideally create 2 to 3 types of dashboard so that it makes sense to that audience. So I have been on the journey where I created one dashboard and showed it to the same, to all audience. And, you know, you learn that what you need to do to engage your audience and to have that meaningful relation with them with the dashboard. And the second thing, to be in a haste and predict the trend. So you see data, you predict, but it's quite complicated. You need a 360-degree view because in employer branding, it's not just your branding metrics, it's HR, and it's also very importantly what's happening in the business on the ground. So a good practice will be to share your dashboard like a draft with across departments, discuss with them before you can say, this is the prediction.
Excellent. Yeah, I was just going to ask about the frequency that you show different stakeholders and how often is it that people expect to see that data?
Well, I think about 3 months of data is required to be able to predict trend lines. But there are portions of business who want to see month on month what's happening. For example, marketing would like to see a monthly kind of a report, but HR would like to see a quarterly because it takes some time for the content you put on social media to convert into quality of applications. So again, you have to customize it and it requires some working through and there's no easy answer for that.
Yeah, there's some really great insights there, Praveen. I think it's such a topic that so many employer branding specialists are interested in, is to understand that sort of, you know, really good practice in terms of dashboards when, you know, sharing. And I think the advice you gave in terms of one size doesn't fit all and you need to change it for the different markets is some really good advice.
Thank you, Sarah.
So one of the things that we always do at the end is ask people if they've got any top reads or listens that they recommend to our listeners, or it could just be what you're currently listening to or reading.
Well, I do listen to your podcast.
Oh, thank you. And you know, there is one person out there.
Other than that, I'm a history buff and read a lot about history, and I'm passionate about storytelling. And currently, I also make a combination of books, which gives me a different view of a topic. For example, I'm reading about 100 objects in British Museum. You won't believe, but I've been reading this for 5 years now. And I combine it with Sapiens and also Silk Route. So these three give a different kind of combination to understanding history. And I'm also interested in, you know, mythology, and I'm reading a book on Greek and Indian mythology because, you know, these were the social media platforms earlier, which brought people together with stories, and they have been so powerful in, you know, like Iliad, Odyssey, or the Greek mythology or Indian stories. These have brought nations together. And I always tell people who want to do branding, especially entrepreneurs, CEOs, that it is their moral responsibility to tell a good story. Because social media or any other platform, there's no good or bad. It's just like, you know, what you say. And if you have something positive to share, do it. So as you can see, a lot of my reading is around storytelling and history.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
That is fascinating.
Feels like that's a whole other podcast.
It does. Yeah. Yeah. I love the idea of approaching a topic from different angles as well. That's, yeah, really fascinating. I think I've got that 100 objects book, but I'm not sure I've opened it yet. So,
oh, you should. And then when you visit the British Museum and see that, it's an amazing experience to understand its history. And then,
well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Pravi. It was lovely to talk to you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. For more expert insights, check out our other bite-sized episodes, perfect for micro-learners and those with a short attention span, just like me. And if you're in employer branding and recruitment marketing, you might be interested in our monthly EB meetups. Just search EB Meetup on LinkedIn and join our community. For anything else, contact us via leapcreate.co.uk. See you next time.